episode 120 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded February 16th, 2017. Best in class. All right, so best in class, because we're talking about three shows this week that are all the best in their class.
Best on their networks? No. I can't be that bold.
That's pretty bold. I mean, Legion is on FX, and that is a high bar to clear. But it's
really, that's the one I thought maybe. But last John week Oliver's tonight yet. On yeah. HBO.
Okay, ooh. Fair enough.
Hey, yeah. It might be the best news program,
right?
I don't know. It still has strong competition there.
And The Expanse is on Sci-Fi, and the bar there is so low that
second only to Sliders reruns.
But we're talking about shows that are just nailing what they're doing just really well.
Yeah.
We're talking about Legion, about The Expanse Season 2, talking about the return of Last Week Tonight, and we are the TV Dudes.
That's right. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
And let's just go ahead and jump into our... Well, I'll mention iTunes and Patreon just for the sake of it. If you guys want to help us out, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. We'll read it here on the show. Great way to help us out. Also, you can help us out over at patreon.com/TV Dudes. And if you guys go there and make a per episode pledge, that'll also help us keep things running. We really appreciate all the support.
Grant.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, and there's also another way that you guys can support us. It's recently come to our attention that we have several billionaire listeners to the podcast. And
yeah.
it feels just below you to give, a buck here, $5 there. So what we have for you is you can give millions of dollars and you can actually sponsor a Formula One car. You can put TV Dudes logos all over this vehicle.
Yep.
Just in time for Grand Prix, or actually, I don't know when Grand Prix is, but if you're a rich billionaire, you do. So, sponsoring Formula One, TV Dude style.
Yeah, good plan.
Can we form a super PAC, guys?
There we go.
And before we jump into listener questions, we once again wanted to remind you guys, we are part of the Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
Podcast Network. And this month we are promoting one of our sister shows, which is This Is Us with Key and Clyde, which you can check out over at keyandclyde.com. That is KEICLYDE.com. And yeah, I believe they just released their 15th episode of the series reviewing the show. And it's a great show.
Yeah.
And you should check out their podcast because they have a great couple dynamic that kind of really dives in and does a great analysis.
If you like This Is Us, you're going to like the podcast. If you don't like This Is Us, you may still like the podcast.
I still like the podcast because Key and Clyde are the best.
Yeah, they're adorable. Go check that out. Once again, that's keyandclyde.com. All right, let's go ahead and get into our questions, guys. We got a good gaggle of questions here. We got some, if you guys like us on Facebook, you guys can ask us some questions there. If you like us on Twitter, occasionally we'll put up the posts there as well, and you guys can throw us some questions. I don't believe we got any this week on Twitter, but we got some on Facebook.
Lots of them.
Yeah, and go ahead, Kyle. Read us our first question.
First question comes from Michael Gastini. Did I say that right? Yeah.
Yep.
In the spirit of Valentine's Day, what are some of your favorite non-canon ships? Being a Supernatural fan, I wonder if that meant shows, non-canon shows.
No, ships. Like relationships.
Ah, non-canon ships. I see, yeah. Being a Supernatural fan, I'm sure Randy's answer will be Wincast. Did I say that right?
Wincest.
Wincest. Not a Supernatural fan. But what about Grant and Kyle? Let your fan freak flags fly.
So first of all, Wincest is gross. And I do not wish to be associated with it.
Is that the Winchester brothers?
That is the notion the Winchester brothers are secretly dating, yes.
Oh.
That's so gross.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful love.
You guys are both younger than me. I've never really done the shipping thing.
Me neither. I didn't really give this much consideration at the time outside of maybe like a stray joke here and there. But now that like the question's been posed,
yep.
The first thing that came to mind for me was the two scientists from Better Off Ted.
Oh my God.
For some reason, I love the idea that those two might actually secretly be in a relationship with each other.
Yeah, I can see that.
Their neurosis just playing off of each other.
Yeah.
There's something adorable there.
My favorite example of this happening in real life is the voices of French Homer and Marge when they dubbed The Simpsons. These two voice actors fell in love and got married.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Grant, you never shipped anybody on Lost?
No. And like, the relationship stuff was generally the stuff I was not ever interested in. I don't like the love triangle stuff that was going on with. I mean, I guess there was a little thing between Sawyer and the polar bear I was kind
of
rooting for.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
Yeah, because I have a furry thing. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, of course, obviously, I'm a big hitter. Yeah. Those are people who are Hank and Brit shippers.
I really wanted the smoke monster and the island itself to fall in love at one point. I thought that'd be adorable, too. All right, let's jump into the next question. This one comes to us from Nick Thies, who says, first off, an update from my Game of Thrones revenge plot from last week. Oh, that's right.
Can I just say, I hope this becomes a weekly feature.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So if you guys don't recall, his friend had a tiff with his friend's mom politically, but was borrowing his HBO password and wanted to change the password on his mom right before her being able to watch the finale of Game of Thrones. So here's the update. I did end up changing my HBO password in order to prank my friend's mom.
Good for you.
But in an amazing twist of irony, my friend forgot the new password. When he called me and told me he couldn't remember it, I responded by simply saying, "The North remembers," and hung up.
Oh my God. Nick, you are my favorite person right now.
Can you guys suggest the next step in my crazy meta scheme? Should I now team up with his mother? Maybe something involving parental locks? I was reluctant to start this game, but now it has become bigger than me, and I must continue. Help me, TV dudes. Be my Varys or Littlefinger on this one.
You know what the Boltons would do? They would send your password in the box, but with the tip cut off of it.
So you don't get the last number.
See, I was going to suggest you give the password to his mom, and then when she just say that you can have this, but when you start watching, she has to start playing the Reigns of Castamere in the background.
I think you have to give the password, and then you have to report them. That's the next true escalation. These people stole my password.
If you wanted to be really mean, you could just grab one of the books, pull your password out of there, and be like, you got to read a couple chapters in to find out what the actual password is.
Oh, yeah. Really, really make a game out of it. I love the Bolton box idea with that.
Oh, that's great. I also love the idea, by the way, of telling them, it's somewhere in chapter 7 of the first book.
All right, let's jump to the next one. This one comes to us from Ross Brown, who says, with shows like Legion and Marvel's Netflix shows, I'm beginning to find it difficult to watch stuff like Flash and Supergirl. Have you ever had similar experience when a show you enjoyed seemed inferior because of another show?
I have. I want to first defend Flash and Supergirl, though, because they're doing a different thing. They're doing classic Bronze.
Of course you
want to. They're doing classic Bronze Age superheroes and doing exactly what I want. Legion is doing something very different. I love them both for different reasons, and so I'm not comparing the two of them. But I have absolutely had shows where they, like, suddenly, you know, it's like an action show that's better. I know that, like, I can't remember what it was when I think, but Alias lost a bit of shine in my eyes once I'd seen Lost and saw what else Abrams and those guys were capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely seen, like, when someone comes up and does something new that I'm like, oh, their early work was just early work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of genre specific tie-ins because I remember there was the time where we were getting into shows like Almost Human and Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
And there's one more right around that time. And it was like, you know, there's something kind of interesting here with these network shows. Like, maybe I should give it a shot. But then I think at the same time, like, all these other great shows were like, really ramping up. Like, Boardwalk Empire suddenly got, like, even better than that next season. And the stuff that FX, like, was already putting out was like, why should I even waste my time with those? Because I know that they're just still going to fall into the gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, this is an awful answer. Awful, awful answer. But I feel like everybody gets one pass on this. Crappy reality TV. It has a formula that works. And they got me one time. It was America's Next Top Model. And
I watched some of that.
The second I saw another reality TV show and realized, wait a second, you can do this with anything. It's just, you know, you say something here, you say something there. Next week, you know, you kick somebody off. And then, so now I don't watch any of it. But yeah, they got me with...
It's interesting you say that because along the same lines, I became a Top Chef fan because Grant dragged me into it like a heroin dealer, giving me the first tip for free.
Yes.
And so Top Chef showed up on my Bravo Now app, and it was the last season, which ended like a couple months ago at least. Like I could spoil myself right now on who wins.
Uh-huh.
But I started watching it, and it's great, and it reminds me of everything I like about the show, and I'm enjoying it. It's good sort of comfort food TV. But
literally,
it is the back. Every commercial break is 120 seconds counting down of advertising for everything else on the Bravo network, which is like Vanderpump Rules and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Dance Moms.
Oh man! And it just reminds me what network I'm watching. And every time those commercial breaks come on, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this.
Well, that's all garbage.
Not to mention the 20 seconds leading into the commercial break and the 20 seconds after the commercial break are the exact same. And it's like, ooh, in 120 seconds, somebody might do something. Yeah.
Dance Moms is on Lifetime. That's for Project Runway. That's the garbage commercials get.
Yeah.
I confuse the two, but.
But yeah, when you see that, when you start seeing them and you realize, oh, they think this is the stuff I'm going to be interested in. What does that mean for me watching Top Chef?
What have I become?
What have I become?
Here's a good one. Zach McLernan just wants to know, given the choice between single or multicam comedy, which do you feel is best and why? Single cam.
Single cam.
What?
What?
Oh, you mean like Louis?
Yeah.
Oh.
Louis, 30 Rock.
Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, instead of basically multicam is going to be what you can expect
Big
with
Bang
a laugh
Theory.
Track.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory.
It's they're doing stage play and they're waiting for an audience to laugh and they're getting multiple angles because they're performing almost live. I mean, they'll do multiple takes and cut it, but
I can enjoy a multicam comedy. I can enjoy Seinfeld, Cheers, some of those things.
Old stuff.
Crowd,
but new stuff, single cam all the way, man.
Single cam.
Yeah. Not even a question.
Yeah. He also has a little follow-up question. This is unrelated. But he says, by the way, what is this about? What cruel world is this? And he has this banner picture of Last Week Tonight, HBO Now. It's got John Oliver with a unicorn. And at the very bottom, it says, start the final season.
What the fuck does that mean?
I looked into this. And as far as I can tell, this image, I think, came from iTunes. This did not come from the site. Can't find this on... I can't find any note about them having this be the final season elsewhere. I found in a Reddit thread, people were guessing that someone made this and made an error in language between final season and upcoming or whatever.
Well, first of all, I already lost Jon Stewart. I can't lose John Oliver. But I have a theory.
What?
What if this actually is a leak from the Trump administration and they're just revealing that they're going to murder John Oliver this season?
Oh, man, think of the ratings.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
So John Oliver played his little prank where he bought some ads. Maybe Trump's buying ads that say, you know, this show's going off the air.
The failing HBO, sad.
There'd be something kind of funny about it, I got to admit. All right, next question comes to us from Benjamin Hamill, who says, so, with the appearance of a glass of milk in the second episode of Legion, there's a couple glasses of milk in there. Can I ask, is the conspiracy real?
No, the conspiracy is not real, but God damn it for Johnny
Neal. I have goosebumps right now, you guys. I'm not even lying. I believe it's real. Conspiracy is real.
Explain the conspiracy real quick,
okay,
Randy.
So Johnny Neal had this crazy theory about milk that...
Johnny Neal was TV dude. Yeah.
The theory was that the milk council and all this, there was all this propaganda putting milk in TV shows and all this kind
of
stuff.
It's a bizarre place, man. I mean, you can't help but remember the Got Milk ads of the late 90s.
Well, that was actually an advocacy campaign for milk.
Yeah. And this might be a little bit more subtle.
But his argument is that it's sort of product placement, that nobody really wants to drink milk. Johnny has a weird relationship with milk. I don't drink milk. But I do not believe there is a sinister conspiracy trying to force it upon the human animal.
Now, did you see one of our listeners posted on our page about milk being the drink of choice of white nationalists?
I did see that, yes.
And it's like, the plot thickens with milk?
Yes,
what
it does.
What is going on?
It's all pointing, and I will say, because of Johnny Neal, because of this damn milk conspiracy, when I saw the glass of milk on Legion, that was my first thought. It's in my head, and I don't believe it.
You're like,
fucking Nazis. I don't
believe it's real, but there's a part of my brain that's like, hey, look, it's another peg on the chalkboard.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's real. I'm not even lying.
Damn it, Kyle.
Everywhere you look for it, it's there.
It could be. It could be smart, subtle advertising. They don't actually have to
have a show
brand.
We're going
to
watch next week. I'm going to call Milk right now.
What?
Yeah. What's a show we're watching next week?
Let's see. What is a new show from next week? I'll look.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll come back
to it. All right. Dennis McElwain asks, hey, dudes, with Real Rob being Randy's thing, anime being Grant's thing, what is Kyle's thing? No zingers this week. Sorry, it says, but...
Thing being thing we hate?
Yes, things we hate.
Oh, things we hate.
Yeah. What is your thing you can really go off on a rant about that you just do not care for? Like, I hate anime and he hates Rob Schneider.
I think we know.
Man.
Churros.
That's an inside joke from a Patreon episode.
I don't even hate churros, though. I've never even had a churro. Oh, that is a really good question. Because anybody who's met me will say I'm usually smiling pretty big for no reason at all. And
you're very smiley.
Very smiley. There's not a lot that... oh, my gosh. There has to be some fuck you TV that I've watched recently.
Is it going to be TV?
Ooh.
Some fuck you TV?
Yeah,
it could be anything in the world.
It could be traffic. It could be radio commercials. It could be any number of things that just drive you up a wall. What's your pet peeve, sir? Kids.
I hate that I'm going to be labeled for this, but Jack Reacher Never Looked Back, the sequel to the Jack Reacher franchise.
Okay.
This is your pet peeve?
Was the most awful movie of 2016. I'm not even lying. Watch the trailer for that movie. It's amazing. It's also the first scene of the movie, the only redeemable quality of this film. The rest of it is just Tom Cruise just standing there like, we gotta do something in this next scene. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's the it's one of the most terrible movies ever. It's pretty god-awful.
Whoa, calm down, dude. Calm down.
All right, next week we are planning to cover... possibly Humans Season 2, Big Little Lies, and Crashing on HBO.
Crashing is going to have milk.
I think all three of those are going to have milk.
I want them
Big
to
Little
so
Lies,
bad.
Yeah.
It's all moms and kids. There's definitely going to be milk in that show.
I feel like we have a good chance. We should have some sort of game. Like, if there's milk in any of these... Like, we have to take a shot before the episode.
I'm going
to
bring White Russian stuff next week.
We should have to be drunk if we're like, fuck, they drink milk every single one.
What if we discover the conspiracy, we explore it, and we find out this isn't actually milk, they're really drinking White Russians. Like, they're drinking booze on set.
That'd be cool with me.
I'm voting for a 3-4. I think it's going to be an all three.
All right, next question comes to us from... Kyle Volte, who says, hey, TV dudes, since we're in the middle of award show season, can you think of any awards that they should give out? Like most unintentionally creepy morning show banter? And who'd win your award?
This is an excellent question. I would give a least improved to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Least improved.
And they would get it every season.
The continuing achievement in non-achievement award.
The continuing achievement in worst sucking.
I don't know. I think the awards shows should have like their own type of awards, you know? So like whoever puts on the best award show, like has the best speeches, doesn't run too long. And then we have an awards for the award shows. You know, whoever had the heaviest award, you know, the best costume malfunction.
Yes, the best awkward speech award.
I'd give an award to, you know, the person who's endured with a good amount of grace the most embarrassing tragedy possible. And that award would go to the American public for having to deal with Trump.
I would give out the best fake news award, and I would give it to everyone because they're all fake news, all of them.
I would give out an award for best host of Celebrity Apprentice.
And you'd give it to Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Shlomo Willick here wrote what looks like the longest question. We'll see how much of this we can get to. First part. Okay. I sent a post prematurely. Happens to the best of us. So here are my questions. If the crew behind Flash were put in charge of an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what villain would you want them to tackle?
Any villain, because it'd be 100% better than what they've been doing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But
you got to give me a villain here.
If I have to think of a good Marvel villain, I think Taskmaster, who is a mutant with, he'd be an Inhuman, of course, but he has superhuman reflexes, which means if he sees somebody do something once, he can duplicate it. So when he sees Captain America throw a shield, he can instantly throw a shield like Captain America.
I remember that girl from Heroes.
Yeah, well, they got it from Taskmaster because he's been around a long time. Anyway, instead of using this to become like a supervillain, he uses it to train henchmen for other supervillain. I think Taskmaster would be a great villain to do on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right, the next question seems a little bit political, so I might just jump ahead to number three.
Okay.
Number three says, I saw Kevin Smith live and got to ask him a question at New York Comic Con a few years ago. I asked him the stupidest question I could think of to see how he would react.
I don't like where this is going.
I asked him this question. If you woke up one day and got out of bed, looked in the mirror, and discovered you were now a duck, what would you do? It's a very dumb question. Kevin Smith did not miss a beat. He said he would stick an orange up his butt, jump in an oven, and then eat himself. What is your answer? What is the stupidest question you could think of? Love this show.
I would go duck myself.
I would, I'd shove a chicken up my ass, and then I'd jump up the ass of a turkey. And then I'd cook myself and devour my delicious self.
Probably like swimming.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I imagine animal nature would kind of kick in. I'd just kind of like start freaking out. What am I doing in the house? This is not my house. This is not my bed.
Whenever I see a duck in a pond, he always looks like a dude in his pool just like sitting in an inner tube, just relaxing. Like,
yeah, it seems so chill. Yeah,
living the life.
I think ducks are pretty chill. I think you might just sort of adapt, and we might not even notice.
I'm already pretty fucking oily.
One of the big tourist attractions in Memphis, Tennessee, where I'm from, is a hotel with ducks in the main fountain of the hotel. And they have a guy who's the duck master who walks them around this fancy, ritzy hotel, just showing off these ducks.
Yeah, it's funny. The duck master is another guy who would make great on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Good answer.
All right, and to the second part, the stupidest question I can think of. I got a little story for you guys.
Okay.
I might have told this a long time ago on the show, but I went to the Alamo Drafthouse, which is an awesome local theater here, for the premiere of the DVD release for season 3 of Arrested Development.
Okay.
In attendance was maybe Funke. Okay. Aaliyah Shawkat,
who comes to Austin a lot.
Yeah, and Michael Cera.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's dating Guilfoyle, Martin Starr. I might be wrong about that.
Okay.
Mm. Anyway, they were in attendance for the release, and we watched an episode, I think, and then we got to ask them questions. The woman next to me decided to ask a question, and her question was, let me see if I can get this, at least the basics of their question.
Okay.
It was something to the effect of, so I noticed in episode 314 that you showed your ID, and on your ID it had this one birthday that said you were born in 87. But then June of 87. But then I noticed in this earlier scene, they had this other document that had that your birth was on, like, October of 89. So which one is it? Which one is it? Oh, my God, which one is it? And she was, like, freaking out sincere. And I was like, holy shit, she's a psycho. And it just kept trying to edge away from this woman. And they all looked at her like, what the fuck? Who cares? I think they brushed off. And then she seemed so upset. She just kind of like, ugh, like sat down and like spilled her entire nachos all over my lap right after that. I'm like, this woman sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, Grant, here's a little twist on that story for you. They probably thought you were with that girl.
I know! It was the worst. I kept trying to go, I'm not with her. Look at me.
I don't have a specific question, but I do know that every time that panels turn the question over to the audience, I cringe because there's always going to be something terrible. I'm embarrassed for the people asking them, and I'm embarrassed for the people having to answer them.
Yeah. Kid stories all day today, but when I was a kid, I went to Universal Studios and got to sit in on a pilot for like a Nickelodeon show.
Uh-huh.
And they brought up kids to give questions, and I was so excited I ran up there without a question.
Uh-huh.
So I'm standing there with the spotlight on me like one of these awkward conference people, and I was just like, oh, you ever think about putting the worms in the slime? And they were like,
good one.
No, but that sounds like a good idea.
And then one of them like looked down, and he's like, every day, man, every day I think about putting worms in slime. Every day.
Ew, what does that mean?
I don't know, the intensity makes it work. Bunch of news this week and some interesting stuff coming down the pike. So, Nicholas Winding Refn, maybe?
Winding Refn, yeah.
Winding Refn. What kind of name is that?
He makes cool art movies, artsy movies. He did Drive, right? With
Oh, is that who that dude is?
Yeah, with Gosling. Okay.
All right. Well, that guy has teamed with Ed Brubaker for the Amazon TV series Too Old to Die Young. Brubaker, you might remember as one of my favorite writers in comics, and he has done Westworld. He's one of the executive producers on Westworld right now. So he is going to be show running this, or at least executive producing and writing it. And Refn, whatever his name is going to be directing and producing. And co-writing.
This sounds like an awesome team up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Set in the criminal underbelly of Los Angeles, Too Old to Die Young will explore various characters' existential journeys from being killers to becoming samurai in the City of Angels. I'm in. This is great. This sounds great to me.
Fuck yeah, dude.
My only worry is that I don't want Brubaker to stop making comics.
Hey, dude. I love him entering the TV sphere. There's a lot of young up-and-comers that want to jump into comics. Let them do it. This guy knows how to tell stories. Let him tell it in another medium.
No, Brubaker's writing my favorite comics, and I want him to keep making at least one. I think he will.
You're being so selfish.
I am being selfish. But, you know, he's doing Westworld, and he's still writing a comic. So I feel like, and it's always creator-owned stuff, so I feel like he's still going to have a comic out there for me.
Okay.
All right. Sons of Anarchy spinoff. You excited about this one, Grant?
No!
Excited? Can't wait to watch the Mayans.
I'm not gonna watch it.
You are so gonna watch it.
I don't want to
watch it. You know you're gonna watch it.
I'm probably gonna begrudgingly watch it, but I don't want to.
Well, they've cast Edward James Olmos.
Cool. He's like hella old and he's gonna die soon. He's probably gonna die like while they're shooting the pilot.
Damn.
I'm sorry, the guy's like 80.
Why gotta be so
rough? Or something.
Edward James Olmos is gonna outlive all of us. That guy's a badass.
It doesn't work that way.
Yep, that's how
badasses also die.
Nope.
The ladies would call him a silver fox.
Yes, they would.
I don't even know if he has gray hair yet, though.
He does have gray hair.
In this picture.
Okay.
Yep, in this picture he does.
Yeah.
But he also does not look old. He looks in the prime of his life. He is ready to take the Mayans through its 7 seasons, Grant.
Shut up. It's not
happening. All seven seasons, which you're going to watch every season. You're going to start off like, it's really good so far. And then by the end of the season, you'll be like, oh, this is terrible. I'm never watching it again. And then you're going to go back. It's going to Walking Dead you, Grant.
Kurt Sutter, quit going back to that well.
Yeah. Go make new original material like Bastard Executioner.
I don't know. Go back to writing for Sean Ryan or something.
All right. Well, that was fun for me. This is going to be fun for you. The Big Bang Theory has been renewed for seasons 11 and 12.
Why is that fun for me?
Because you know how much I hate it.
Well, I did put that in there.
Yes.
Just so that you could rail against
yes.
this too.
Yeah. This show. God, I hate this show.
Whenever I see stories like this, I'm like, look at all the money they spend on that show. Yeah. Like, those actors are the highest paid actors in the biz. Yeah.
Like they've been paid that much for 12 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome for them.
It's awesome for them. It's terrible if you work in a comic shop and people come in like, oh, this is like Sheldon. You want to murder them.
That does not happen at all.
It happens every damn day.
Every day?
Yes.
Do those people make purchases?
No, usually not. Usually they are touring the place and they think they're on a set visit.
Field trip.
Yeah.
Look at this comic book shop owner. I bet he has Asperger's too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I pretend to, so they don't have to talk to them.
Tell me something really smart. What's math?
People have this notion that because
you
I
just
mace
them, you're like, yeah, just like the character.
I'm just like the character. Yeah. I maced you and then called the cops. That's what the character does, right?
Gotcha.
FX is American Crime Story, which you might remember did The People vs. O.J. Simpson, which has just showed up on Netflix, by the way. And if people have not watched, should definitely watch.
Yeah.
Their third season is they've just cast their leads.
Yeah, isn't it funny that they're already casting for the third season?
Well, apparently season two is focusing on the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, which we knew. It's been delayed due to issues with the source material. I don't know what that means.
Maybe there's some legal issues that they have to clear.
At any rate, Annette Bening is playing the governor of Louisiana for season two.
Wow, that's awesome.
And Sarah Paulson is set for seasons two and four. But what we do know about season two is that it's supposed to air in early 2018. Season three will arrive just 6 months later. So that's why they're shooting it now.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And this is the third season is going to be set. It's going to be at the Versace murder.
Mm-hmm.
Gianni Versace, a fashion designer, was killed in the steps of his Miami Beach mansion in 1997. His killer, Andrew Cunanan, claimed him as his fifth and final victim and then killed himself. And this guy was like he was frequenting high class bars to sell sex to men, dabbled in drug dealing and petty theft. His motives for the murders are still unknown and widely speculated upon. Man, that is crazy material for a Ryan Murphy show. Like, this is going to be really interesting.
Right up his alley, yeah.
But anyway, they've cast...
no pun intended.
They've cast Edgar Ramirez and Darren Criss. Edgar Ramirez is playing Versace. He's a Venezuelan actor you might know from Carlos, The Girl on the Train, and Point Break. And Criss...
The remake, Point Break, by the way. Yes, yes. So you won't know him.
He's not Swayze.
Criss is well-known for working with Murphy. He shot to fame as Blaine Anderson on Glee.
Yeah, he's popped up in like all of this stuff.
He was in American Horror Story Hotel. And, most important to me, he's playing the Music Meister in the Flash Supergirl music crossover episode.
Oh.
Can you not wait for the music crossover episode of Flash Supergirl, Grant?
I don't even know the words you just said.
I'm going to make you watch that.
No.
All right. I can't believe this is a real story.
Yeah.
The headline from Screen Rant reads... American Horror Story Season 7 covers the 2016 presidential election. I swear I thought this was a joke.
So good.
Because...
Like, I could see it as American Crime Story.
No, it was a horror story. That is accurate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the scariest thing I've seen.
Now, it's unclear what they're going to do here, though, right?
Right. We don't really know... but apparently on Bravo, on Watch What Happens Live, Ryan Murphy said it will be set during the 2016 presidential election between Clinton and Trump. Andy Cohen asked if there will be a character based directly on Trump, and Murphy responded with a simple, maybe. I cannot wait because I know that it's going to drive Trump insane.
Yeah. I would just imagine this is just, it's so bonkers, this idea that we might get a murdering lunatic Trump behind the scenes.
But just on TV.
Just on TV, yeah. Wink. Now, we are going to talk about Last Week Tonight, followed by The Expanse over on Sci-Fi, and then we're going to wrap things up with Legion. But first, Last Week Tonight. Oh, thank God.
He still got it. Yeah. 3 months gone, man, and a lot happened in those 3 months.
We needed it.
Yeah.
We needed him.
Yeah.
I mean, Samantha Bee has been holding her own.
She's been great. I love Samantha Bee.
And Colbert has stepped up.
I agree, yeah.
And you see that he's actually passed in ratings Fallon lately because he actually decided he's going whole hog against Trump.
Yeah, and he never ruffled Trump's head to make him seem likable.
So that's interesting, but man, John Oliver being back. and just straight up like dedicating it to talking about, look at all the fucked up stuff that Trump's doing.
Yeah. Let's talk about reality and how it applies.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was one thing that for one thing, that's just kind of, I needed the reality check. I needed the, like, you guys are seeing this shit, right? And that was really funny. But then his whole, the president is only watching Fox News, and that's where he's getting all his information. So we made these crazy infomercials to inform him, which I love. I know we should not poke the man with the nuclear football. I understand we should not try to drive him crazy, but I love trying to drive him crazy. And this is going to make him insane.
I doubt it will.
You don't think so?
I bet he doesn't even watch commercials. Who does? But I love the idea.
I bet he does.
It's more for the rest of us.
The joke was that you could hear the 1-800-588
like running in his office. I think you gotta remember, Trump is 70. He doesn't know what a DVR is.
Yeah, but other people.
Nope.
I don't imagine. No, I know he's watching live TV.
I imagine it is just running and he's going to see it. No, he may, like, when the commercials come on, he may do what we all used to do with commercials and just, like, look away. But I don't know,
well,
man.
I think I don't know. I've given up hope on, like, this will get him.
What John Oliver has shown me is that it may not be John Oliver, but Trump's going to pick a fight with one of these guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Somebody's going to find the thing that sends him over the edge, and that's going to be like all he thinks about.
Like, currently, it's SNL. That's his punching buddy, I guess. But yeah. SNL's punching better, I guess.
Yeah.
And the joke's on him. It helps their ratings.
Yeah. They're doing great.
Yeah, they're their best ratings in like 7 years.
It's becoming must watch, even though that last episode last week sucked.
Did it?
You didn't like last week's? I didn't think it was that great. I liked the Melissa McCarthy bit, and that was about it. The People's Court thing was bad.
You know, the one thing I'll say about the Trump era for John Oliver, and I hope that he'll avoid this, is that one of the things that last week has done really, really effectively is drill down on topics that don't get covered. So they talk about things like procedural stuff and law stuff.
Civil forfeiture.
Yeah. Stuff that's interesting that they can make funny, but is also very much like real investigative journalism. And I hope that they don't get so focused on Trump that they lose that. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
It would be hard, like, just to talk about other stuff without, because it's, you remember during the campaign, it was like a crazy story once a week, once every couple weeks.
Yep.
It is 5 to 10 stories a day.
Yeah.
And he's covering this like weekly. There's so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Like, well, I feel like we need someone to keep unpacking.
They may have to run a speed round every week. Like, here's a 5-minute speed round of all the crazy shit Trump did this week.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I hope that we don't lose the investigative side, because I always enjoyed those, even as they made me angry and inform you about things I wish I didn't know.
It was nice to see him back.
Yeah.
It's comforting, even if it's just talking to his
bubble. And what is this, season 5 now? Or season 4?
Four.
The nice thing about a show like this, they do long-form, in-depth reporting. Granted, it's funny when it gets to us, but they've probably got stories that they've been working on for 4 years now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That we're gonna finally get to see like all the labors of their work, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, I agree.
Good call. All right, well, let's jump over to The Expanse, which has started its second season. I think it's already 4 episodes in, but we're probably just going to talk about the first few episodes.
Right.
Kind of give you guys a feel for what's going on here. And what's interesting about this show is, this is over on Sci-Fi, by the way, we hadn't been really watching this show until a couple months ago, like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We decided to catch it on Amazon.
Well, when they finally put it on a streaming, I've been wanting to watch it forever.
And we binged on it because we've heard good things. And it's impressive. It does a lot of great things that like Battlestar Galactica did and like establishing this really like well thought out futuristic sci-fi landscape. And then it kind of incorporates some of the adventure more than the heavier aspects of Battlestar, like Firefly was able to accomplish.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, Kyle, its scope is kind of Game of Thrones-esque.
Yeah, like that's the feeling I was getting coming, because I didn't watch season 1. I came into this fresh.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Came to it fresh.
Oh, wow.
I know somebody lost a friend at the end of last season. Anyways, it felt like Game of Thrones in space. Like,
you know what else this reminds me of? And it's not, it's a different level, but Babylon 5 really did a lot of sort of what politics looked like in interstellar space, like when you had multiple governments in different, you know, they had to coexist. They did kind of like, what does diplomacy look like in an interstellar galaxy? And
it looks like America running things.
They're doing that here. It's like the UN and Mars and the Belters, like all the politics that go into it, and then trying to avoid a war that's nobody really wants.
Some people seem
some to. Some of the people within the factions want them, but none of the people really want it.
Yeah.
I think it's just fascinating. They just did a great job with it.
What'd you guys think of Aaron Eckhart in this?
Aaron Eckhart, man. That guy. First of all, I got to say this again. That hair is weird as fuck. His hair is weird.
We're talking about Thomas Jane. We are not talking about Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
But if you made the mistake, we wouldn't blame you.
They do look very similar, yes.
Especially with half of his face covered up in like the weekend hair.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to keep running with that joke. You're such a punisher.
Oh, boy. But I actually think Thomas Jane is good here. I think he's a good...
In the second season, I noticed that he seemed to drop a lot of his... Humphrey Bogart like cadence that was going on that first season. Like, he's not gonna like ham it up in those weird ways.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful actually for
it. I agree. Well, because the thing is, he's the name, him and Shora Agladashu or pronounces her name, but he's nowhere near the strongest part of the cast. The cast of the Rossi or whatever they're called, those guys, those four are the just the heart of the show. Alex, the sort of Texan Martian dude. Yeah. I love that dude. Amos is my favorite character.
He's surprisingly like well written and like being very quiet, very reserved, very consistent in how he reacts to every situation. Like he's an aggressive attack dog, and he's also a puppy to what's her name.
Yeah.
And
to Naomi.
And I like how they play it. I like how he plays it.
Yeah.
He does a lot of intensity with his eyes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, it would have been easy to make that guy just a psychopath, just a joke. But it's a guy, this is a guy who's well aware that he is basically a weapon, and he's just okay with it.
Yeah. They also could have had him just kind of like playing over the top aggressive.
Yeah.
Instead, he seems just kind of like really calm and controlled on, but under the surface, there's that intensity ready to pounce at Amos.
But he will beat or shoot you if required.
When the fight between him and Thomas Jane, when he throws him on the table and starts choking him out.
Yeah.
Just effortlessly.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, they really sell that. He's a force of nature.
Hey, he told him to stay down.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of D from Chance.
But less
interesting, but like kind of that same, you know, like, I don't understand the strength I have.
Yeah, I can see that. I thought you were going to say D from It's Always Sunny. I wonder where you're going with that. He's like a bird.
The connection.
I also like Holden, who's our captain, who's definitely the guy who's like, his conscience gets the better of him.
Are you talking about tall, boring Jon Snow?
You don't like that guy? I like that guy.
I just find he's tall, boring Jon Snow.
Do you not like Captain America either?
I will say, when they said he was the captain, I was like, wait, that guy's the captain?
Well, that's the thing, is it's by accident.
Okay.
He was like the first mate on the ship that got blown up in the first season, and he's basically wound up being they all answer to Naomi. Naomi is the one who, if she had the actual rank, would be the captain, but she's like, no, you outrank me. You're in charge, but she's the one really who's running things.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't make that connection until now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Once you see the first season, you'll see some of the backstory.
Oh, no. Now that I know it's on Amazon, I'm excited to go binge it.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's really good. But the second season, the new Marines, the Martian Marines, I love those characters.
Yeah.
I like how it just keeps expanding the scope and showing these...
No pun intended.
It expands.
And showing all these new characters. There's a really interesting... ending at the end of the second episode, but we don't have to necessarily go into it.
I do want to mention in the second episode, though, it's called Doors and Corners, has a fantastic action sequence in it.
Yes.
That raid on the station, like the way they show space combat in this thing.
FedEx product placement was a bit like, oh my God.
But it makes sense. I love that they still have these brands in the future. You know FedEx is still going to be around in the future.
Oh, not... not 300 years in the future or whatever this is.
I think it's possible.
Is 100 years in the future, maybe?
I think FedEx is still going to be around. But I do want to say, going back to Babylon 5, you know what the drink they had in the Zocalo, their space bar?
Yeah. Oh, was it a reference to it?
It was Zima.
Did they really have Zima there?
It was the 90s, man, and they thought Zima was there.
Oh, you're talking about Babylon 5.
Yeah. They thought Zima was there to stay. So it's nice. Possible that FedEx will not make the cut in the future.
I don't know. That part threw me. Now, I'm curious, Kyle. When I watched this, and I watched all the first season, I find that they are continuing with this really fast pace, not really waiting for the audience. Like, it's one of those shows you have to pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
They're really jumping between a lot of high-level conversations, and they're not in any way, like, spoon-feeding the audience. And for me, I was wanting to, like, go to Wikipedia and look up the synopsis, just kind of catch some of those finer details that I felt I was missing when they were just, like, jumping around all these plot points. Were you a little bit lost in some of this?
So, definitely the scenes, like, all the diplomatic stuff and, like, the, right? you know, we're yeah. trying to, you know, start a war and this or that. I gotta say, yeah, I was a little lost, and I just kind of suspended, any hold I had on, you know, what's going on here. And a few of the characters, they kind of did give, the performances are good enough in this to where you're like, oh, yeah, he's scheming something. You know, this guy obviously isn't part of the group. And like you guys were talking about, the main crew of this ship, I feel like following them kind of gives, somebody who hasn't seen the show before an entry point into this world. And then you can slowly piece together the bigger politics of, these different planets and like this impending war.
Yeah, that's just that one part. Like, it continues this pace. It's not gonna spoon feed you, like I said.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But at times, it still makes it a little bit like, okay, wait, what's going on? Let me try and piece this together in my mind. And it's rough to watch a show and kind of have to do a little bit of the work in at least my slow brain to kind of like, I know what's going on here.
They're definitely doing a little more harder sci-fi. Like they've got the thrusters out in space. The proto-molecule is a very interesting take on an extrasolar operation. Like their aliens are not like dudes with pointy ears. Like, this is definitely harder sci-fi. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Game of Thrones. This does have a link to it, and that is a book series.
Mm.
And it's being the writers of the book series are involved in the show. But do you know the main writers and showrunners here? Mark Fergus and Hawk Ostby, which, by the way, great name.
Yeah.
Probably fake. but they are screenwriters who worked on Children of Men and Iron Man.
That's pretty good pedigree
in
there.
Yeah. Whoa. So there's some good people in this writer's room.
Dang. Yeah.
Well, pretty impressed with where it's going so far in season two.
I'm really liking this.
Who knows? I might catch out one of these other sci-fi shows. My first sci-fi show.
Yeah, don't go too deep in this.
Go watch the first season and then jump back into this, or you can read the wiki, I guess. but I thought it was pretty good, the first season. So.
But don't venture too far into sci-fi's offerings, or you'll wind up in a Sharknado.
All right, guys. Let's talk about Legion. We were wanting to talk about this last week. We had to wait for this rascal Randy.
Yep.
And now we've all seen the first two episodes.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's one thing about, you know, that pilot kind of catching you and it using all its bells and whistles right up front. But the momentum keeps up, I think, pretty well with that second episode.
Yeah. So, first of all, we should mention that if you want a really in-depth look at Legion,
yes,
our buddies over at the Marvel TV Binge on Permanent Record. That is Mike Moody and Nathan Bliss and Martin Thomas.
Although, this week, Mr. Martin Thomas is going to be out of town, so your very own Kyle Scott's going to be jumping on the mic over there.
That's right. So they're doing an episode-by-episode breakdown, and I am providing comic book info in the form of Randy's Comic Book Corner.
Look at you two.
Randy's Comic Book Corner.
You guys are a bunch of backstabbers.
It's cross-promotion, dude.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, this
cross
is
cross-promoters.
You know we're plugging their shows at the beginning of ours, right?
That's right. Cross-promotion.
All right. Fair enough.
But anyway, you can go listen over there. But we're going to talk about it over here, and I expected to love this. I love Noah Hawley. He did both seasons of Fargo, which is my favorite TV ever.
And FX.
And it's on FX. And this is far and away the best superhero TV show that's ever been done.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Like, there's not even a con. Like, I will defend to the death how good Flash and Supergirl are at what they do, but this is like, and I like what Marvel does with Netflix, which is trying to do like prestige TV. But this is what a prestige TV superhero show should look like.
This is great TV that just happens to be about a superhero.
Yes, exactly.
And luckily, it's one of the relatively more obscure characters. I mean, Legion, you might remember him a little bit from like X2, that movie. Or if you
was in X2?
Wasn't he?
No.
He's in the wheelchair. He's wheeled out.
No, that's not Legion.
With the two eyes?
The two eyes. What?
His eye colors are different?
And no, that's not Legion.
Oh, I totally thought it was.
No, because
Stryker's kid.
That's Stryker's kid.
Yeah,
for some reason.
No,
oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's
this
not.
Is Xavier's kid.
Xavier's a legitimate kid, although not in this show, probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe.
Well, we don't know.
It's still a little unclear. Yeah. I mean, it could be because we see that he's remembering his father, but he can't see his face, and he keeps calling him an astronomer.
Yeah,
but that might be fake.
Well, I thought that too. Yeah,
there is the scene in the pilot where he's like, "Hey, you're the guy in the car," and like two beats later, he's like, "Oh wait, no, you're not the guy in the car."
Yeah,
and that tells me that everything we see on the show, none of it's reliable.
I don't know how much of this is real. I don't know if any of it's real. This might all be taking place because here's the thing about David Haller. He is a multiple personality. He has, in the comics, he has multiple personalities and they each have different powers and he is severely screwed up. Like he is not a well man.
Yeah. So explain what's going on in that show.
So basically David Haller is, he's being interrogated by, it looks like he's being interrogated by government officials.
David Haller is Legion.
He's
by
Legion.
The way.
They say he might be the most powerful mutant discovered. And he's been diagnosed as schizophrenic. He's been in a mental institution. He is hanging out with his sarcastic buddy, Lenny, played by Aubrey Plaza. And
awesome.
She's fantastic here.
Awesome.
He meets a girl named Sid Barrett, who does not want to be touched, but he has to be his girlfriend.
Do you know who this is?
Who, Sid?
Yeah.
No, but I have a theory.
Okay, okay. Let's hold off on that.
Okay.
Okay.
And so they agree they're gonna be boyfriend and girlfriend, but they're not gonna touch. And as she's about to leave the hospital, he kisses her goodbye, and they say their minds switch bodies.
Yes.
And then they wind up basically rescued by this sort of proto X-Men team in a way.
Visually, it confuses us because it seems like the bodies like switch back at some point, just magically.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's what's going on. Yeah. Like, it seemed like they actually picked her up thinking she was him.
Yeah.
And then, like, her mentality came back to her and he was no longer there in the car.
Here's the weird
thing. I don't
know. I mean, here's one of the weird things about this. This is a very specific reference, but the whole show has a beautiful dynamic. Like, it looks
it's
period late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the music is drawn from the 80s. Like, the second episode opens with Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads, but it's a riff. It's somebody doing a remake, but it's a 80s song. And the finale of the second season episodes, the credit episodes, are like this 80s, you know, you guys saw the credits, right? For the second season? Or not second episode?
Yeah.
They're like, it looks like an 80s music video and it's an 80s song. And I forget what it was, but they're pointing us that this takes place in the 80s. And Aubrey Plaza's character makes a reference to a new candy bar, which is clearly the Whatchamacallit, which came out in 1978 and was popularized in the early 80s. They are telling us this is in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Or late 70s.
I do not believe that this show takes place in the late 70s, early 80s. I believe that every time we're seeing all this mod stuff, we're seeing David Haller's head. That he was a kid.
Yeah.
He was a kid in the 80s. So that's why...
He's still mentally trapped there.
He's still mentally trapped there.
Ah.
So he's interpreting all these things. Like, I do think some of the things are actually happening. I think like the rescue from the government agency,
mm-hmm.
I think that happened. But I think every time we see these different guys using telekinetic powers or Sid using her pyrokinetic powers and all that, it's David doing it. I think we're seeing a Mr. Robot type thing.
Ooh.
This is a show that immediately upon watching, you're like, oh, this is going to warrant rewatch.
Yep.
and then maybe again, rewatch.
Yep.
Because all the shows are just like, all the scenes are just so complex and I mean, sometimes I'm just kind of taken away by the artistry of it. I'm like, I can't even focus on what's going on. I have to rewatch that scene.
Yeah.
To hear the dialogue, because I was just like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dialogue, the character work, the design of it, it's fantastic.
Yeah, the creators said they were inspired by Matthew Vaughn's take in X-Men First Class on creating that world. And yeah, you know, this is something we talked about a little bit, how like the Bryan Singer take on X-Men is like the black jumpsuit.
Just
and
garbage. So,
what I loved about First Class was the blue and yellow jumpsuit. It was color, but it was tasteful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a few characters in this that they have like the generic black, you know, suit. The main bad guys in this show, they wear black paintball masks.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like your paint by number stormtrooper types. But then you got the costumes, like the jumpsuits from the mental hospital in the first episode.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that people are wearing in the facility here, like, it is a stylish, good looking show.
Yeah. And they also do like little bits, like the dance number in the first episode
with
like the French music. There's some really sort of weird, catchy stuff going on. Like, there's a lot of cool lighting stuff that goes on. And then there's the yellow eyed man.
Is that Sinister or something?
Like, no.
The Sinister has red eyes, right?
I believe we're looking at the Shadow King.
The Shadow King.
He is he's a guy who possessed Legion in the comics. He's the first telepath to battle Charles Xavier. He was released. Basically, Xavier in his fight with him burned his body out, and so he lives on the psychic plane and thirsts revenge against Xavier.
So he's been under the control of Shadow King for years, decades.
I think the Shadow King is lurking in his psyche, hoping to take control, but it's got to be hard to control when there's multiple personalities you have to take control of. So I think he's lurking, waiting for his chance.
Is that part of the comic? Like, he had trouble actually trying to take control of
Legion? No, in the comics, he sort of had an easier time with it because of his psyche was so fractured that he made a good target.
Ah, okay.
But I would guess that that's what we're seeing, is that the Shadow King is sort of moving around in the shadows. And I don't know that that's actually true. People have other theories as to who that is.
Like what?
Some people think it's Mojo, because there's a crazy deformed guy named Mojo, but that doesn't fit him at all.
Hmm.
I don't think it fits him. And some people think it's just an original character.
Hmm.
We don't know that it's the Shadow King. I just think it's very, very likely.
You want to hear something crazy?
What's that?
So this is a show about Charles Xavier's kid with multiple personality disorders.
Yep.
And James McAvoy just made a movie where he was a guy who had multiple personalities.
Must mean James McAvoy's coming on the show. he's gonna be the dad.
I will say this. I feel like the X-Men movies, which I liked some of the X-Men movies. I like Days of Future Past. I like First Class. They should be embarrassed about how badly this show beat them at their own game. On a TV budget.
Yeah, this looks so good.
It's
this
so is, good.
Like, I watch an episode and I'm like, I need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that escape when the guy's using the telekinetic powers and that kind of thing, when they're escaping, that's as good an action scene as you've seen in any of the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys expect this to be the show that, obviously, we're going to have theories, we're going to be talking about it weekly?
Yes.
It's going to be like that talk about show.
Yes, I did. I've been saying since we saw the first trailers that this was going to be that show.
We will try to talk about this next week as well.
Yeah. Because nice. this is a show that I'm going to love, and I knew I was going to love this show.
But I still got other questions for you, Randy.
Yep, okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we go over like the basic plot. Like, he's trapped in his mental hospital. Not trapped. He was there of his own accord, I guess, because he kind of lost connection with reality.
Yep.
And he, like, at what point is Lenny real or not?
This is the thing I keep going back and forth on. And I watched the first episode and I was pretty confident. Then I watched the second episode and I was less confident in my theory.
Like, I thought she was always fake.
My initial theory is nobody in the show is real except for David Haller and the government guys. My theory was that basically that Sid and the lady played by Jean Smart, who's basically the Professor X type, and Lenny, all these
characters. She's great, by the way. I love her character.
Yeah, she is. That the other two guys, like, that everyone is a personality of Haller's with different powers, and that's what he's seeing when he's using those powers in the world, but none of them are real. Like, this is all in his head. That was my first theory.
I mean, that's so bonkers for how they're visualizing and how we're going to have to unpack that later.
I don't think that's true anymore. Like, I thought his sister was real. I thought his doctor was real.
She's from the league too.
Yeah, Jenny, I love her. Yeah. Katie or Jenny?
Did you
Hazleton?
Notice that yeah. she's Katie. Dressed very similar to his girlfriend in the flashback
yeah,
scenes?
Yeah, I did.
I'm curious if there's not a connection there.
Yeah, if she's not,
if maybe he's remembering things differently.
I think it's possible. Well, he's got a strong connection to his sister, which we see a lot more in that second episode.
He had to remember someone he loved, and he remembered his sister.
Yeah, but. I thought that maybe none of them were real other than like his sister and his doctor and the government dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And now the one thing about Legion in the comics is when he's a boy, he's in a terrorist bombing and he survives it because his powers manifest and he absorbs the terrorist as like one of his first personality. And
you
so
he absorbed his sister.
I think it's possibly absorbed his sister. I think it's definitely the case that he absorbed Lenny. I think Lenny did get killed. I think he did it with his powers and that he absorbed Lenny.
Okay, that makes sense. That then he actually did have some drug escapades with Lenny when he was younger.
I think
Or because one of these characters has the power to manipulate memories.
Yeah.
Or she has somehow made her way into these memories.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the sister's real.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, because she goes back to the hospital and she's, like, asking, and that seems like specifically a scene apart from his memory.
Yes.
Which makes me think, okay, that's in reality, and he was able to, like, phase into it and see what was going on and almost try and interact. Yep. So that was another manifestation of his powers.
Oh, you guys want to hear the craziest theory ever?
Okay.
What's that?
The bad guys who are chasing him, they're not real. He's imagining them and bringing them to real life. So this threat is actually him creating it himself on the whole rest of the group.
Well, that would...
You can't tell me it's not what's happening.
It would tie into The Angriest Boy in the World, where it's basically revealed that he, you know, it seems like he killed his mom with his powers. And his fake dad and his memories is trying to get him to confront it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So, Syd Barrett, who do you think this is?
I'm trying to figure out if she's real.
But who do you think she's like referencing to?
I don't think she's referencing anybody.
Oh, okay.
You think it's Rogue?
Well, I mean, in a way, it seems very much like Rogue. She can't touch anyone.
Yeah.
But she would absorb his powers, not transfer consciousness.
You know what I was thinking about? Because you're not the first person I've heard say that. In the X-Men world, there has to be several characters who their power somehow is related to, you know, their skin touch. Or like their touch.
Yeah.
Like, I actually bet, like, if we lived in that world, it'd be more common to see people, you know, covered in head to toe trying to not touch their skin on anybody for a variety of reasons.
That's what I think. I don't think it's a Rogue reference. I think it's just
it's hard to not see
different
it,
power thing. Yeah, it's an obvious thing to look for. But in the comics, Legion has a personality that is an Irish girl named Cindy, and she's the one who's a pyrokinetic. And Syd seems to be a pyrokinetic.
Why did you think she was pyrokinetic?
Because she flash-fried that entire room with her power.
When
they rescued him from the government in the pool.
Oh.
Remember, she tells him to go down. She says, you know, go in the water.
Oh, that's right.
And then there's like bones and everything. There's a big flash. That was pyrokinesis.
I actually forgot about that.
That's pyrokinesis, Kyle.
Nice.
Know what movie you're talking about. I mean, TV show.
So my other question is, do we think that the, for all intents and purposes, the X group that rescued him.
Yeah.
Do we think that they are good? Because there's a scene where they're trying to get like unlock his memories.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're doing it more for their purpose than necessarily his. And like when they can't get him to like answer a question, Syd pops up to ask him from the girlfriend angle. Like they're using him.
I don't think so. I think he's dangerous and they're trying to. I get a very Professor X vibe from Gene Smart's characters. I get very much a nurturing type.
But if you're gonna go with the theory that they're all in his head, I think she's definitely in that group.
Yeah,
that's in there too.
And that's the thing. The question of whether they're good or evil, I'm still dealing with the question of whether or not they exist. I'm trying to figure out if any of them are real or if this is all David using his own powers and the Gene Smart is an aspect of his personality trying to guide him to put his personality back together.
I feel like it's too much of a mess of a show.
If they're all fake?
If everything is fake, like what do we even like grab onto to kind of be the driving narrative here?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's better to assume that he was in the hospital. He got broke out by these people after like switching bodies with her.
Right.
And part of what he's remembering did happen. It's just that it might have happened a little bit differently, but it did happen. There is a Shadow King type character lurking in the background, making him paranoid. The voices did eventually like take their toll on him, and he had a breakdown.
Right.
Lenny was a friend of his that ended up getting committed to the same place as him.
Right.
I mean, that was the other weird thing. Like, they were friends before. They also both checked into the
hospital. See, that's why I'm thinking that's her jumping back into his memory.
Yeah. Yeah, that she wasn't in those memories for real. That he's mapping somebody else. He's mapping Lenny on top of someone else.
Yeah, like, so we know that she's been absorbed into him. So she exists in there. So when they go poking around in the memories, you know, it would make sense that she would pop up.
But they kept referencing him killing that girl, and that girl was Lenny.
Yeah, but they killed her in the... We're saying that the mental hospital was her. That's where he met her in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
But that flashback to the drug episode... That's fake Lenny in his head.
I think that's not actually her. Yeah,
that was some random junkie who he doesn't remember, and so he slots in. It's like when you're playing when you're a kid and you got action figures, and you don't have Darth Vader, so you just use like Princess Leia as Darth Vader because it's the only character you got. So you know,
even he goes, "Is that my stove?" And if it's not the same stove, it looks just like the stove from the previous episode in the kitchen scene where he's like going crazy.
Oh, so he was pawning his own stove.
Right. Yeah, so like another, you know, relic from his memory.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Man, this show is... There's so many questions and theories. And the great thing is, beyond just that, it's just great TV.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, we should probably stop there. We've kind of hit our mark on like... Yeah, time for the episode. But we could keep delving into little intricacies if we wanted to.
I think Kyle is called. I think we're going to be talking about this every week, just like we did with Westworld.
Like, who's the weird guy with a fro?
That's a new character.
Cool character design, though. He looked like somebody pulled straight from the comics. You're like, that can't be just how that guy looks.
Well, I mean, if you look in the comics, it might even be a nod to the actual Legion, because Legion in the comics has crazy hair.
Mm.
He was designed by Bill Sienkiewicz, who's a guy who does very sort of abstract art. And he has this sort of crazy hair design. So
pretty much Legion and maybe Shadow King are like the only ones that are recognizable names.
I think so. I think everybody else is original. Okay. I don't think anybody else is a nod.
I hope that they can still have him be Professor X's kid. I think that'd be really
Be pretty cool.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and call that there. If you guys do want to go even more in depth, once again, a reminder to go ahead and check out the... what's it called? They changed the name again.
Marvel TV Binge.
Marvel TV Binge. They changed the name because they adjusted the scope of the podcast, but it's now Marvel TV Binge on Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
You can go check that out at permanentrcrd.com. And listen to that, because next week, Kyle's going to be on there.
I'm going to be on there.
Going into even more depth about this episode.
Blowing some minds. No pun intended.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
Until next week.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.